Let's look at the tools and techniques that are used in risk control. The tools and techniques are, of course, the first tool and technique is called as the technical measurement or technical performance measurement. So technical performance measurement compares technical accomplishment of the schedule of technical achievements. It requires the definition of objective quantifiable measures of technical performance to compare actual results against targets. Such as such technical performances, performance measures may include weight, transaction time, number of delivered defects, strength, capacity, etc. Deviation from any demonstration more or less functionality than plan at a milestone can help to forecast the degree of success in achieving the project scope. Now, this technical improvement process can be immediately seen in a manufacturing unit where you have a quality team. Now, this quality team is there to ensure that there is a great amount of technical quality being maintained, say in a manufacturing unit of a car. So say an outer body is being made. So whether the outer body of that car has any defect, the quality team checks, and that is a technical proof that you are delivering a good product. So that's exactly what a technical performance management plan is. Reserve analysis reserve analysis is amount execution of the execution of the project. Some risk may occur with positive or negative impact on budgets and schedule contingency reserves. Reserves analysis compares the amount of the contingency reserve remaining to the amount of remaining risk remaining at any time in order to derive if balance reserve is adequate. Now, ideally, if you look at it, balance reserve is adequate, why do you need to keep the balance reserves always adequate? Is because you don't know the risk that you don't know. So that's the part of it. So if I use my balance reserves, I will not be able to work on the risk that is not seen to me. Hence, it is important to have a reverse analysis and check how it is happening, or reserve analysis. Meeting is the next tool that is used. And what is the meeting? I don't need to disclose or something. What do you mean by meeting? But of course, I will surely read the slide for you. So project risk management should be an agenda item at periodic status meeting. The amount of time required for that time that item will vary depending upon the risks that have been identified, their priority, and the difficulty of response. The more often risk management is practiced, the easier it becomes. Frequent discussion about risk make it more likely that people will identify risk opportunities. So what I'm going to get out of it, what is the output? Of course, the first is work performance information, which will have work performance information such as control risk output, provides mechanism of communicating or support for decisions of the project. Let's look at the change request implementation of the contingency plans, which is plan 2 or plan B, or my fallback position of my plan, or work around something sometimes results in change requests. Change requests are prepared and presented to the integrated control or change control process, and change control can include recommendations and corrective actions. So this could be the SMEs, this could be the entire CCB board who decides, okay, these are things that can be implemented. These activities are that realign the performance of the project work with the project management plan. This includes contingency plan and workaround. The latter are responses that were not initially planned, but are required to deal with emerging unidentified passive risk. Now, hence, it is important that you have a risk control or a risk measurement measurement plan, and that risk control will help the risk the change control board to take a specific measure and let the project manager and guide him through corrective measures that have to be taken. Or you might perceive as a project manager that this is a higher risk, but your change control board, who's a better experience and is a guiding force for you as a project manager, will help you to identify that this risk can be mitigated in certain formats. And hence, recommendation of corrective actions will be given to the project manager by the change control board. If you look at recommended preventive actions, now this is again would come out from the expert meetings that keep happening. So these are activities that ensure that future performance of the project work is aligned with the project management plan. project management update plan updates in case the approved change request have an effect on the risk management process. The correspondence component document of the project management plan are revised and reissued to reflect the approved changes. The elements of the project management plan that may be updated are the same as those in the risk plan response process. Now, very, very crucial but important that a document has been updated about it so that you know what is your risk response plan, and everybody, all the stakeholders, are aware about what kind of response they have to give to a risk if it occurs. Output of a risk control plan, or what are we going to get? The next is, of course, is project document update. This is two types of it. Outcomes of risk assessment is risk audit and periodic reviews. Actual outcome of the project risk of the project response is the most crucial element that you would get out of creating a risk control plan. So risks are bound to happen. You will always have a speed breaker when you're driving. You can't have just a smooth road. You will always have a turn. So while you always have a turn, and you got to ensure that your brake, your clutch, your accelerator is in right motion. So every time you have a speed breaker, every time you have a turn, that's a risk, and that needs a response plan. So you, during your training of driving, you've been giving all those instructions by your teacher of how do you drive your vehicle when you are nearing a speed breaker on a turn. How do you take steep turns? How do you take a U-turn and all? So it's important that you keep shuffling your gear, your clutch, and your accelerator in such a format that you are still driving smooth on all these turns and speed breakers. That's exactly what we're talking about, the response of risk. Organizational process assets is what you would get next. What do we understand by this? Is the risk management processes produce information that may be used for future projects and should be captured in the process asset. The organizational process assets that may be updated included but are not limited to, of course, is template of the risk management plan, including the probability and probability impact matrix. If you remember, we have already done probability and impact matrix. So and risk register, most important, the risk breakdown structure, the RBS is what generally says, and the second word, if you remember, is WBS. So work breakdown structure will give me my risk breakdown structure. Lessons learned for the project risk management activities. These documents shall be updated as needed and a project closure. The final version of the risk register and risk management plan template, checklist, and risk breakdown structure are included. Let's look at cost control. And cost control is, this is the third aspect of it. We looked at the schedule, we looked at the risk, now we're looking at cost. So the cost control is the most important control element of the project management, since it is directly impacting the business strategies and profit margins of the organization. And where we're growing right now, the organizations are very, very cautious about cost, and hence, somebody who's able to save cost for the organization is always a great asset for the organization. Also, the stakeholders involved have conflicting interests, right? So my profit goes if my cost is not involved or not made the way I have anticipated. And every time I try doing that, I'm not going to like if my profit gets cut as a stakeholder or as a shareholder or as an investor. So it is important for a project manager to realize that cost is the most critical element of my project. If I'm able to control my cost and still deliver my project, then my ability as a project manager is immediately displayed to the world around me and creates a high stake. So I'm talking about two clear demarcations and behaviors that you need to exhibit as a project manager. One is a cost awareness every time when you are executing a project. Second is communicating with the stakeholders. If you remember, communication and cost are the two things. Let's look at what it says. The production manager may be interested in meeting the schedule, whereas the quality manager may be insisting for the quality throughout the project. And above all, the finance controller may look at the cost. So ideally, if you look at it, the quality, the cost, the production, all towards will have their own perspectives, and everybody would be there in your project team at the end of the day. So it is important that you understand everybody's perspective and see what is required for that moment or for the project, and what is the best that you can do for that project at that point in time. But the objective of the project is common for all, isn't it? Achieve the project goal in terms of QCD, which is cost, quality, and delivery. Considering this objective, each stakeholder must accept and agree that strict control, cost control is necessary for all stages, for all aspects of the project management, and through all phases of the project. So cost, quality, and delivery is what you have to focus. Each stakeholder must try to strike the balance between the three important elements, which is quality, cost, and delivery, to ensure achieve cost control as per plan. Cost control process refers to the monitoring status of the project in order to update the cost and managing the changes to the cost baseline. Cost control will provide the means to identify the variance against the plan and take necessary corrective and or preventive actions for it. Hence, cost has to be kept in mind every time. Let's look at some more aspects of cost. Monitoring and controlling the expenses that do not relate to any completion of the project work is the key to effective cost control, since such expense will not add value to your project. Analyzing the consumption of project funds and establishing the relationship between the funds consumed and physical work completed is a critical task and must be done by the experts. The final objective of cost control is to manage the approved cost baseline and change the baseline if necessary. Following are the main activities that are there in cost control. Let's look at that. Influencing the factor that causes changes to the authorized cost baseline. If anything that is changing my cost baseline, my budget, I got to be very, very serious about it and ensure that I communicate this to the stakeholders very correctly and very accurately. Ensure that all change requests are attended without delay, because it's directly impacting my cost. And every time, I have been repeating this, every time you delay a change, it is going to impact three things: scope, time, or cost. And in cost, if it's directly impacting the cost, then you've got to take actions immediately and communicate to your stakeholders. Managing the actual changes as and when they occur. Ensure that the cost expenditure do not exceed authorized funding by period, by work completion in a total project. Let's look at this. Monitoring cost performance to understand the variance. Preventing inclusion of unapproved changes is the reported cost and sources usage. Informing all stakeholders about the approved changes and associated costs. Bringing expected cost overruns within the acceptable limits. Cost control inputs, project management plan, project funding requirements, which have been cleared right at the beginning of the project. Cost baseline and cost management plan are the important elements to create a cost control plan. These information will about the projected funding requirements and anticipated liabilities. Work performance data is one of the inputs that we will require, which will give me my deliverables and cost. Organizational assets will help me in formal execution, informal cost control, cost control tools, and monitoring and reporting methods to be used in cost. Let's look at tools and requirements of the cost control. So EVM, earned value measurement, forecasting TCPC, PI, I will talk about that as well, and performance review are the widely used techniques for controlling the project cost. All of them need to be applied to all the projects. Selection of choice will be decided, of course, on the complexity of the project. Let's look at what is earned value management or measurement. Earned value management is a very versatile methodology that combines scope, schedule, and resource measurement. It integrates the scope baseline with the cost baseline along with the schedule baseline in form of the integrated performance baseline. A performance measurement data obtained from EVM is used to access and measure the performance and progress of the project. The principles of EVM can be applied to all projects irrespective of any industry, because every industry will have a scope baseline, any industry will have a cost baseline, any industry would have a schedule baseline for any of a project. So irrespective of the industry that you're working, you will always have a EVM, and which is an integrated value and how your project is going. I would want to draw your attention to the next slide, which we have, and there's a graph there, and we can work around this. Let's look at the EVM develops and monitors three variable dimensions. Each package of the project and control account for each of them. Let's look at the next slide, and we will try to understand this. So the graph says on my y-axis is my cumulative cost, and my x-axis is my time. And if you look at three lines moving, by the way, this is also called as trend analysis. This is also giving my trend. I have my actual cost versus planned value versus earned value. So earned value, planned value, and actual cost. This is how my budget looks like. This is my management reserve. If you remember in my earlier chapters also, we have disclosed that management reserves do not get into your actual budgets, but are not disclosed to all the stakeholders. It remains with the key stakeholders that they understand. Project budget, if you look at this kind of a graph is generated, and date and time will tell you till when have I expected results that I'm getting. Let's look at what the graph is talking about in terms of its and the different terminology that we have. So if you go back to this slide, you will have these EAC, BAC. So of course these are understood. The PV, EV, and AC is understood. But what is BAC, EAC? We will look in the next slide now. Let's look at planned value is an authorized budget assigned to scheduled work. This doesn't include the management reserve. So if you go on this slide, planned value is, if you look at it, the graph ends here, which means the management reserves are not in planned value. So it's irrespective of the planned management reserves. That's how this budget comes up. So if you look at it, the allocated of the phase over and the entire project span. PV also sometimes refers to PMB, which is performance measurement baseline. So let's not complicate, let's stick to PV. The total value of the project is referred as BAC, which is budget at completion. So this is the BAC. If you look at BACs here, it also includes the dotted line, which is the management reserves. So BAC is the total budget that I have, total cost or total budget that I have in the total completion time. So let's consider if this is 1 year, this point is 1 year, and this is say $1 million. So in 1 year, my budget is $1 million on this project, is how I read this graph. If you go on to the next part of it, which talks about earn value. Earn value is a measurement of work completed at any point of time in terms of authorized budget for an amount of work that is completed. At any point in time, EV can't be more than PV for the component. EV is used to measure the percentage completion of WBS. So let's now go at it and see how EV is done. So EV cannot exceed PV is what it is saying. So I can't exceed EV PV. So EV is basically the task completion, okay, which is ideally say according to my WBS, I have to complete a task with 5 resources in 10 days with a specific machinery. So what is the percentage of my work completed? That is EV, the value that I have got out of creating that task. That is how EV is calculated, or that's what EV is called. We will have lot of equations around it, and I'll show you how to do that as well. Let's look at EV. As I said, EV can't be more than PV. Why? Because EV is the earned value, and PV is the entire project value. Of course, WBS element, work packages or complete project at any point of the time. Project managers monitor EV every time, both incremental to decide current status and cumulative to decide the long-term indication. So every time if I have say 1 lakh rupees as a budget for some activity, if I'm exceeding 1 lakh rupees, it's a signal for me that I should control my cost. If I'm within 1 lakh rupees and I'm within my time and quality, great job. That's how it is measured. Actual cost is, of course, the total cost incurred in completion work measured for an activity to calculate EV. So, what is actual cost? Actual cost ideally says what is the expenditure. So, I have earned 5% of my work completion after this activity, spending 80,000 rupees with a budget that I had for completion with 1 lakh rupees. So that's how you start reading. That's what is AC, actual cost incurred to complete that activity. So AC may be defined as the direct cost only, or total cost including the indirect cost also. There is no upper limit for AC. Let's look at the tools used. EVM, as I said, EVM also monitors the variance with references to be approved, baseline and performance index are also calculated for the cost and schedule. The variance are explained below. Let's look at this. Schedule variance is the difference between PV and EV. So PV minus EV gives me my SV. So project value versus earn value gives you my schedule variance. It is the measurement of the schedule performance. It will indicate whether the project is ahead of the schedule, behind of the schedule, or exactly running on the schedule. I will show you a detailed chart around this, and let's look at the next slide. We also have something called as cost variance. This cost variance is called CV, and CV is the difference between EV and AC. So EV minus AC gives me my cost variance. It is the measurement of the cost performance which indicates whether the project is under cost, over cost, or exactly on cost. All right. So that's how CV is identified. I'll repeat again. My SV is identified is a difference between PV and EV. So what is PV? I'm repeating again. It's the project value. What is EV? I'm repeating again, it is something called as earn value, the task or the milestone activity. Similarly, that the difference gives me my schedule variance. So it tells me whether my project is on time or ahead of time or low and below my time or exactly on time. That's SV. Let's move on to the second one. The second one is CV. CV, I'm talking about earned value minus actual cost. So value that I have created out of the task minus the actual cost that I have incurred. So if 1 lakh rupees is the budget, I have completed 5% of the activity minus that 5%, the quantity of it, minus my actual cost, which is 80,000, gives me the value of my variance in my cost. So variance could be positive, variance could be negative. So that's one thing that we all need to understand, that it could be a positive variance or a negative variance, both is okay. Let's look at this. It will indicate whether the project budget is a deficit or surplus at any given point in time, which means the data and the date. The EVM cost variance can be positive or negative at the completion of the project. The positive variance will indicate that there is a surplus budget, of course, so you should be happy and everybody is happy. And the negative variance, of course, is going to tell you that you have to recover faster from the variance that you have, which is negative. We will have a look at it on the table that we have. Let's look at the SV and CV are the converted to the efficiency indicators to reflect the cost and schedule performance of any project and compare the performance of different projects. So my SV and CV are just converted into efficiency indicators. So what do I mean by efficiency indicators? I will define that CV has to be any time at any given point in time within a project has to be not more than 40%. So the moment I say 40%, my cost variance should not be 40%, positive, negative. If I'm going 40% over the budget, I'm a little very, very dicey. Okay, so maybe 40%, I just gave you an example which is a little higher. 40%, the project is going to be absolutely a flop. So let me recorrect my example. The example would be my cost variance should not be more than 10%. When I say 10%, what do I mean by that? My cost or my budget should not increase 10%, or it can be below 10% in terms of my expenses. So if I have a budget of an activity which is 1 lakh and I've completed that activity in 70,000, it's a problem also, because people will then have to check the quality of it. However, if I've done the same activity in 120,000, which is 1,20,000, then I still have to check it, because I have exceeded and maybe not used the optimum resources that are required. And hence it is important that I have my CV in place, and so it becomes my indicator. Similarly is my SV, which becomes my schedule variance, and schedule variance becomes an indicator of schedule, whether I'm on schedule, below schedule, or ahead of schedule. Let's look at the tools and techniques. EVM also monitors the variance with the difference to be approved baseline and performance index are calculated for the costs and schedule. The performance index are explained below. Let's look at this. Schedule performance index is SPI. I'll repeat. Schedule performance index is SPI. Is defined as the ratio. I'll repeat, is defined as the ratio of earned value divided by project value. It measures how efficiently the project team has utilized the allocated time. So which is indexed. So difference is, it is an indication whether the time is being utilized correctly. An SPM value which is less than 1 indicates less work is completed than the plan, whereas SPI is greater than 1 indicates more work is completed as planned. And there is a possibility that project can be completed ahead of schedule. Cost performance in SPI, it is EV divided by PV. If you look at the cost performance index, it is EV divided by AC. So what's the difference here? PV and AC. So denominator changes. That is important. So in schedule, my denominator is PV. In cost, my denominator is AC, which is actual cost. So let's look at this. Is a most critical EVM measurement that is measured how efficiently the project team is utilizing the allocated resources and funds. Now, CPI value less than 1 indicates cost is overrunning. So extra expenses are made if the work completed, whereas the CPI greater than 1, okay, indicates the cost is under saving for the completed work time, and the possibility is you remain in your profit margins. Now I'm continuously comparing for you the SPI and CPI. If you look at here, it says that if less than 1, less work is completed. If more than 1, more is completed. Similarly, here it is saying if CPI is greater than 1, it indicates more cost is incurred. Here it indicates if it is more, which means the cost is schedule is on time, or it's you are ahead of time. Here if you cross 1, it says that you are over budget. So definition changes. Please keep that in mind, that your definitions would change immediately your CPI. So if your calculated CPI is more than 1, what does it mean? It means you are over budget. If you have 1 as the value, your SPI value more than 1, which means you are better on schedule. Okay, so that's the difference. Let's look at one of the more tools that I use, which is also called as forecasting. Forecasting is as the project progresses to estimate at completion, EAC. Repeat, this is a new word that's come in, estimate of completion, EAC, required to be projected for many reasons. The EAC may differ from BAC. Budget at completion and estimate at completion. What do you mean by that? Let's look at it. For forecasting, the EAC projections of condition and event is the project are done on the basis of current performance of the project and project work are data available. The project past performance data and any information that could impact the project in future is also used for forecasting. So EAC and BAC, so budget at completion and estimate at completion are two different things. So estimated is based on while I'm doing my task. Budget is based beforehand with the data, the historical data that I have. So EAC typically are the actual cost. So estimated cost is like I have 10 activities, one activity is consumed 70,000, the other is consumed 70,000 again, the third is consumed say 1 lakh rupees. So it is my actual cost that gets accumulated to get my EAC. So if I want to calculate EAC at stage 7, and every stage has a budget, I will calculate all the entire money that's been executed and have my EAC. That will give me my budget at completion, estimate at completion with a frequency bar, and the difference will give me my variance. So let's look at this. Actual cost till the point, time and date, plus the estimated cost completion of the balance work, which is ETC. Based on the experience till date, the ETC is predicted by the project team. The simplest method to calculate the manual bottom-up summation, in which ETCs are built on basis of actual costs incurred and the expense of the project team till the date due is being done. Which means let's look at this. It says EAC is equal to AC plus bottom-up ETC. Now, what do we mean by bottom-up? All my WBSs are calculated and the cost is calculated for it. All right. So estimated estimate at completion is equal to actual cost, okay, till date what is the actual cost, plus the bottom up, which is remaining ETC. So remaining ETC is my balance work. So what is the remaining estimate of cost, estimate at cost, is what I have to calculate and complete and create my ETC, EAC, which is estimate at completion.